maybe perhaps you've never read the Bible or owned one. Perhaps you don't have a copy of God's Word of your own. Offer you a copy, it's an extract from the Bible, yours to take freely, offered to you without any cost or any obligation to you. It's God's Word, and it has the ability that no other book has to make you wise, as it says, for salvation. Not clever, but wise. And of course, it's wisdom that we need. And it's only God's wisdom that leads a person to salvation. The assurance that is of their sins forgiven. And one day when you're done on this old earth, you go to heaven instead of going to the other place. Hell, as the Bible calls it. So God's Word, as I say, offered to you, a full Bible if you want. Give you a whole Bible if you'll only read it. But you know, the Bible, it's the only place where we get a true description of what God is really like. God is love, and the Bible tells us. And of course, well, you've heard that countless times before. Some of you come to me and you say, well, what if God is love, then how this, that, and the other, and how can he send people to hell, etc. And almost as though you have the picture, you know, that God is love and nothing else. And he's just there for you and everybody else to squeeze out love to everybody, to all in a sundry. And that's not quite the full picture, because God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates the evildoer. And of course, there are more sides to God than just one. God is just. He is perfectly just. And of course, he will be seen to be just on that day when he judges the whole world in righteousness. That day seems to me is coming soon. That day God will judge all men and women by his Son Jesus Christ. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Bible tells us. And in that day, of course, God, his justice will be vindicated. He will be seen to have been and to be absolutely and completely, totally just. Absolutely just. So you see, more to it than just simply love. God is love. There's no question about that. And it's out of his love, of course, that he has given you an escape route. His Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world in order that through faith in him, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, a person might be saved. Of course, if a person can be saved by their good works, and this is what our friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who were over here a moment or two ago, that's what they claim, that a person can be saved by their good works, by what they do. Well, if that's the case, think about it, then Jesus Christ died in vain. He had no need to die. All you had to do was simply be good and do good things, and you would get to heaven. But of course, the Bible makes it clear that no one will ever be justified, made right with God, that is, by means of what they do. Only way the person can be justified, made right with God, the Bible makes it clear, is through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That alone. So the gospel, you see, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, it's vital, it's of the utmost importance that you not only understand, but that you embrace, that you lay hold upon by faith, that is, lay hold upon Jesus Christ, God's Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the condemnation, that God's Son has come into the world and you have not believed on the Son of God. You see, people, I don't come to condemn you. You are already under condemnation because of your rejection of, because of your refusal to believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. But of course, all that can be repaired, all that can be turned around today. Judgment of God can be lifted off you. It's kind of like, you know, the sword of Damocles hanging over you, waiting to fall at any divinely given moment. And of course, you just don't know how long you've got. You don't know when your last day, your last moment will be. It might be today, who knows? Perish the thought, but it might well be. And of course, if you're taken out of the world today, then that sword of God's judgment falls upon you in all its fury and all God's wrath. So it's important, you see, that you get saved, and you get saved now, even today. But as I say, as I said to you countless times before, we won't start at the beginning, because you know that God is, you know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. No, you didn't evolve. You didn't crawl out of some primordial sludge. You're not a piece of chemical fizz. You're a human being, a man or woman created in the image of God. But of course, you see, because of that, when you sin, you see, man, woman is different from all the other creatures that God made. Man or woman, you see, is made in the image of God, an imitation of God, you might say. So you see, here's the trouble when you sin, you know. You give a false imitation of God. Your life is a lie, you see. When you commit adultery, you're saying, what you're doing is you're saying that God is unfaithful. And God is not unfaithful. God is utterly faithful. But you see, that's what you do when you sin. When you tell a lie, you're saying, you're making a statement. You're saying God is a liar. You see? You defame God's name. And for that and much, much more, of course, well, God one day will bring you to judgment. Unless that is, of course, you escape the wrath to come through repentance that is turning from your sin, and of course believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and having the image of God restored in you. So, as I say, God is just, and God is always just. He never does wrong. He's the judge of all the earth. He always does right. You complain about Him, I know. One breath you say God isn't. There is no God, you say. Something goes wrong in the world and you say it's God's fault. You know, you can't make up your mind. It's the inconsistency of fallen reasoning, you know. Nothing so inconsistent, believe me, as an atheist. Terribly, terribly inconsistent. But of course, that's to be expected, isn't it? You know, when your thinking's broken, when it's not working right. But of course, whatever happens in this world, bad or good, you know, God always does that which is right. And on that day, you see, when all men stand before Him, He will be vindicated. He will be seen to be utterly and absolutely righteous. His justice is perfect. And so for that reason alone, you ought to bow the knee in submission to Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. But of course, in the Bible, God tells us exactly why it is that He is just, you see, in judging the world. For instance, it says, listen up if you will, the earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, that's you and I, For they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. You see, that's why God will universally judge the entirety of the world to its uttermost parts. Whether you come from the North Pole, the South Pole, the West, the East, the Middle, matters not where you come from, where you've been living, whether you've heard the gospel or not, whether you had the Bible or not, whether you've been to a church or not, whether you claim to be religious or not, whether you claim to be an atheist or not, a Muslim or not, whatever you claim to be, there will be a universal judgment. All flesh shall stand before God and give account to Him. All ranks and all classes, priests and popes, politicians and paupers, every man, jack of us, we shall all be brought to judgment in that day at the end of the age when Jesus Christ returns again in glory with His holy angels to take vengeance upon all they that do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel. So I warn you. Yes, I warn you. I warn you. Why? Because I love you and I don't want you to be faced with such a catastrophic end as that. I want you to be saved. And so I come to you to tell you the good news, how you can escape, this judgment, how you can escape the condemnation of God, and how you can come to everlasting righteousness, and of course the experience of God's fantastic love, His grace, His peace, and the joy that He has for those who repent and believe the gospel. But here's the sin, you see. The bond of friendship, you see, has been broken. That's what you were created for. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, God made you, you see, to be His friend. And now, of course, because of sin, you see, sin has come into the world, sin has come to all men, and now all have sinned, and so now all are enemies of God. That's why I tell you, week by week, you see, that you need to be reconciled to God. That enmity, that hostility against God, that has to be brought to an end, you see, and you have to be restored to friendship with God. But this is what you were made for, you see. I know you live to please yourself. I know you live to do the sin thing. I know you love to do the sin thing. You say, how do you know that? I know that because God tells me. He tells me in the Bible. He says you won't come to the light. Why? Because you love your sin. You love the vomit of your sin, you see. And you keep going back. The Bible says, you know, just like a dog that returns to its vomit, you keep returning to the vomit of your sin. Because you love it, you see. You love it. And that's why you won't come to the light. That's why you're not saved. Not because God can't save you. Not because Jesus is unable to save you. Or even unwilling. But because you are not willing. Because you have a love affair, not with God. You have a love affair with your sin. You have a love affair with darkness. You hate the light. And won't come to the light, says God. But you see, you were made for the contrary. You were made to be a friend of God's, you see. And that bond of friendship, you see, has been broken, you see. You were made in this fashion, you see. A dog and a cat, you see, a lion, a snake, a serpent can't be a friend of God's. Animals, you see, weren't made the same way as human beings. They don't have souls. I know some people think they have, but they haven't. You know, man was made differently. He was made in the image of God, you see. He was made suitable for friendship with God. But that's been spoiled, you see. That's been destroyed as a result, you see, of man's sin, of your involvement in sin. You ought to know God. Of course, the Bible says, God says you do know God. You know that He exists. He says He's made it plain to you. He's shown it to you. He says you even understand it. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, lightens every man who comes into the world. A child, before it knows anything at all, knows that God is. Yeah, you know that God is, but of course that knowledge is in condemnation. That knowledge is in the displeasure of God. And of course that scares the life out of you. And that's another reason why you don't seek after God, because you know He's not well pleased with you. Because of your sin, because of your rebellion. So, you see people, you ought to know God in another fashion. You ought to know Him in friendship. You ought to know Him in love. You ought to know Him in grace. You ought to know His favor. But you don't. You see, because sin has separated between yourself, you see, and God. And all have become corrupt, just as God says. You know, corruption of heart, you see, of nature. Contrary to God, you see, in nature and in practice to every single one of us. And another thing is, you see, that God has drew the lines, you see, for humanity. You see, He gave us His commandments, He gave us His law, He draws the line, you see, and He tells us not to cross the line. Well, of course, what happens today? You put a sign up, keep off the grass, and what do people immediately start doing? They start walking on the grass. Why do they do that? Why don't they obey the sign? Because they've got a rebellious, stubborn, stupid nature inside of them. We've all got it in us. What? What? Speak up, can't hear you. You see, we've all got that stubborn streak in us, you see? You don't keep off the grass because of your stubborn nature. No, I walk on the grass, thank you very much. And of course, God gave you His commandments. He drew the lines. He says that you don't cross the line or else death. Yeah? And of course, that's exactly what man has done and what man continues to do, you see. Shifts the lines, you know. Now, we won't live. We won't live within the confines that God has given us. We'll make our own laws, thank you very much. If it says we'll define what marriage is. We'll define what sexual practice should be. We'll devise our own laws, our own standard of morality. You see, it's called, in the Bible, it's called transgression. It's called wickedness. It's called evil. It's called rebellion, lawlessness. And it's because of that, you see, and much, much more too, of course, it's because of that that God will universally judge all of mankind. He'll bring us all to judgment because we've all crossed that line that God has drawn. Yeah, we've all walked in the grass, you might say. We've all ignored the signs, you know, and just done our own thing. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, wandered our own pathway. Well, that's the reason, you see, that God will bring all human flesh to justice, to judgment. And of course, you say today, I haven't sinned. You say today, I'm not a sinner. But on that day when you stand before God, it will be very clear to you that you crossed the line that He drew many, many thousands, millions of times. Yeah, God will be seen to be absolutely, His justice will be vindicated. And of course, transgression, lawlessness, sin, a missing of the mark, you know, not reaching the target. Most of you don't even try to reach the target. God has set the target. You know, He has made the terms and conditions quite clear, but we all have sinned and come short of the target, you know. And it's the truth, people, you don't even live up to your own standards, you know. You say you're going to be this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to do that, you know, but you never do. You never never do. You fail yourselves time and time again. You fail your own standards. Never mind God's. But of course, it's not that you missed the bullseye. You didn't even hit the target. It's not even that you didn't hit the target. You didn't even aim to hit the target. You just totally and absolutely, from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, totally ignore what God has revealed to you, His righteous standards. And for this, God will bring all men to judgment. Universal judgment, all men. Nobody will escape it. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's appointed for man to die once. After this, what comes next? You say, Shakespeare of earth, crematorium, dust to dust, you know, ashes to ashes, end of story. Nobody knows. Yes, they do. God knows, and God has revealed it to us. After this, then comes the judgment, the justice of Almighty God. So you see, people, all of us, every man, woman, and child, we all of us have missed the mark, trampled His law underfoot deliberately, willfully crossed the line that God has drawn in the sand. And of course, as a result of that, you have incurred the judgment, the condemnation of God. And that's why I say to you, you need to be saved from your lawlessness. That nature, that stubborn nature of yours needs to be changed. That rebellious nature that you have, you know, that lives day by day with your fist in your Maker's face, with your fist in the face of all authority. Every rebellion that you see in your society and the world over, every form of illicit protest is just another reflection, you see, of the stubborn, anti-authoritarian, rebellious, lawless nature that lies within each and all of us. Nobody ever desired, nobody ever wanted to submit themselves to God's standards, to God's law, until they had been born again. Why Jesus says a man must be born again. Except a man is born again, He says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Impossibility to be brought under the kingdom rule of God in Jesus Christ and submit yourself to God's revealed will and law. Well, that nature, that stubborn nature, you see, it has to be altered, it has to be changed, and that takes more than just a little bit of religion. That takes more than just a little bit of morality. That takes more than just, you trying to pull your socks up, you know. That takes a miracle from God, supernatural act of God, changing the heart and changing the nature and giving you new desires. Giving you the desire to please God. Giving you the desire to love God. Giving you the desire to submit to the law of God. But no man ever did, and no man ever will, and no man ever would until they were born again. You must be born again. Your nature must be changed in order to avert that justice of God at the end of the line. Coming down the line, slow train's coming, but it's coming. Surely as apples is apples, it's coming, people. The justice of God, retribution, accountability. Jesus says you give account for every careless word that you speak. Never mind the heinous acts that people are involved in these days, in this wicked world that we find ourselves in today. So the transgressors, who are they? Well, everybody. All the covenant rejecters, the wicked apostates from God, those that is who have sinned. And of course the Bible, well, does make it clear that that's everyone. We all, the Bible says, have the law of God written in our hearts. you know the difference between good and evil. Your conscience, you see, testifies, agrees with me. Your conscience, you see, it testifies to the truth of God's word. It tells you, it informs you when you do well, and of course it informs you when you do evil, when you do wrong. Your conscience bothers you, doesn't it? Unless, of course, that is, you've seared it. Unless you become so hardened in sin. Unless you're, well, as the Bible puts it, unless you become a reprobate, you know? Beyond the pale, as we say. Beyond redemption, perhaps, maybe, even. But if you still have a conscience in you, and it's still working, you know, well, it testifies to the truth of these things. It testifies to the reality of God. You say there is no God, but your conscience bothers you when you do wrong. That's a response to God. That's a response to God, people. Testifies to the reality of God and the reality of your sin. And of course, well, you see, that's how you know right from wrong, you see. But of course, many of you, you see, you just trample on your consciences, and if you go on doing so, well, then you'll get to that place of being beyond the pale. You'll get to that place where maybe perhaps God will just give you over to your lusts and desires. You know, you persist with your atheism and you argue against the truth that God has revealed to you. You continue with that, then, well, maybe God will just give you over to it. You know, well, that's the way you want to go. Give you a shove in that direction. And then you're left in that hopeless state and condition, and faced with nothing but the wrath and the justice of God. I hope that won't be the case. I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll pay heed. I hope you'll repent. I hope you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know salvation rather than judgment, redemption, rather than ruin. But of course, each and every sin, you see, that you commit, seals the fact, you see. Every act of rebellion, you see, against God, seals the fact that you're in love with sin. Proves the truth of the matter that God reveals in His Word. You're agreeing with sin. You're saying, I disagree with God. You're saying, I don't agree with God. I think God's wrong. I think that sin's right, you know? And it's that rebellious nature again, you see. But that's what the transgressor does, you see. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will be preached in all the nations. That doesn't mean, of course, that all the nations will be saved. But He will be preached to all the nations. And I think that, well, surely that... that must be very, very close to being fulfilled. Do you? I think you should too, madam. I think your rebellion is absolutely, absolutely revolting. That you should, in public, that you should revolt against God in that way. Repent, madam, and believe the gospel while you yet have the time. So as I was saying before I was very rudely interrupted, that Christ will be preached to all the nations, and then of course, well, the Bible says, the end shall come. Then the Lord Jesus Christ shall return in glory to judge the world in righteousness. You see, some people, they live with the idea, they think that they'll argue with God in that day. You know, that they'll say, well, it's okay for you, you're God, okay for you to judge me, I'm just a human being. No, it won't be like that at all, people. Jesus Christ is the man, Christ Jesus, who will judge you in righteousness. And I tell you, in that day, you won't argue. You won't have words. You'll be so utterly and absolutely terrified. You will not even open your mouth, people. in that day, God's justice will be vindicated. He will be seen to be absolutely and utterly right, and you in the wrong place. Unless that is you've repented, unless you've turned from your sin, unless you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, judgment, the fearful looking for of judgment, is all that you're left with. So people, the judgment, the justice of God, all the inhabitants of the earth, the Bible says, defiled by its inhabitants. Everything. Everything that man touches becomes defiled. Why? Because man is sin. Sin, sin, sin. That's all you are. From beginning to end, just a walking, breathing lump of sin. And everything, everything that man touches becomes defiled. Doesn't matter what it is. Nothing's good. Everything touched by man defiled and spoiled, because man is sin and he defiles everything that he touches. And so you see, all is polluted, the world itself is polluted, and this, you see, is the basis. This is the basis, you see, because of this, you see, and well, much, much more. God will bring all flesh to judgment. God will bring all to his throne of justice. And all, of course, will give account on that day, you see, for our polluted state, uncleanness, defilement. And of course, well, after that day of judgment, the new heavens and the new earth will be ushered in which only righteousness dwells. And of course, only those who have been found to be righteous in that day of judgment will occupy the new heavens and the new earth. You see, those, that is, who have been made righteous through Jesus Christ, God's Son, those accounted righteous by God through their faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. So you see, I warn you about this judgment. I warn you about this day that's coming and looming large and fast. It's coming very soon, I think, from what the Bible tells me. And I come, you see, because I love you. Because God tells me to love my neighbor. You're my neighbor. So I come to tell you, I come to warn you. You're heading for a precipice. And over that precipice is eternal, everlasting darkness, everlasting flames, the damnation of hell. I come to warn you to stop and to turn around and go the other way. Avoid the precipice, for it's too late. And of course, well, you need to turn around, you see. You need to do an about turn, for repentance means. You need to change your mind. Change your mind about God. Change your mind about your sin. Change your mind about God's Son, Jesus Christ. A dramatic change of mind. Radical change of mind. You need to begin aligning your thoughts with God's thoughts. Higher than yours. His ways are higher than yours. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Change the mind, people. Repentance. Turn from your sin, your love of sin. Turn from the vomit of your sin. Turn from your uncleanness. Turn from the defilement. Turn from the pollution of your sin. And turn, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one. The only one who can save you from this coming judgment of God. Bible makes it clear, people, that hell is a reality. You can read for yourself in God's Word. Listen to what God's Word says. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a reality that God himself has revealed in grace in order that you should avoid such an end as that. He warned, you see, in grace. He opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings in order that they might repent and believe the gospel. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back, turn back. Turn from your evil ways. For why will you die? You see, God warns himself in grace and love in order that you might avoid such a terrible, disastrous, catastrophic end as the judgment of God. And then Jesus Christ, the Savior, who so loved the world that he came, that he was crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. He himself, very graphically, more than any other writer in the Bible, graphically warns about hell. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell, he says. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a reality. God in grace warns about it. Jesus speaks about it graphically. And it's for this reason that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that is, will be saved. Salvation is a reality, as is hell, but that salvation, people, you need to appropriate it. You need to embrace it. You need to embrace the Lord Jesus. You need to receive him. To as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from sin's penalty. Its wages is death. Always has been, always will be. And will be on that day when God judges you in righteousness. The second death, eternal death, everlasting death. That's the end. Total, complete separation from God for all eternity in the damnation of hell. Lest you repent, lest you believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from its power over you. A man's a slave to that which he obeys. You obey your master's sin, you have to do, you can do no other. Sin cracks the whip and you do what it tells you to do. You can't stop it. You try. You stick patches on yourself. You go to the chemist. You go to the bookshop to buy books, you know, self-help books to get your life back on track, as you say. But you never do. You never manage. You never get there. You never get really free. In bondage to sin, captivated, enslaved by sin. You say, I'm not anybody's slave. Yes, you are. You're sin's slave. You're enslaved and in bondage to sin unless Jesus Christ has set you free, and he alone can. It's what he came for. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved from sin's power. His presence that permeates your world, permeates your heart, your life, your family, pollutes the world. Sin, people. It's all over the like a rash. So worse disease known to man, worse than any AIDS, worse than any chlamydia, worse than any of the filthy diseases that you spread and peddle all over the world with your sin. Now, people, there's only one, one antidote to it, and that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for lost sinners, that you might be forgiven, washed and made clean and made fit to stand in the presence of God, that you might avert that judgment that's to come, the justice of God. Repent, people. Turn from your sin while you still have the time, while you still got the breath of life in you. Turn, turn, turn before you burn. Repent and believe the gospel. The flames of hell, you'll be crying out. You'll be crying out to us, and we'll be telling you, we tried to warn you, but all you said was, don't judge us. Don't judge us. Well, if I don't judge you, who will? If I don't tell you these things, who will? You got churches all around you here in Newcastle today. You ever see that? Do they come out here and tell you? They come out here and warn you about these things? Tell you because I love you and because I want you to be saved from the judgment of God. Saved from the flames of hell. And well, at the end of the day, it's not me that judges you, because I'm not here to judge you. It's God's word, it's God's law that judges you. Standards aren't mine. I didn't set the standards. God did. I'm just the messenger. You going to shoot the messenger? Good will that do you? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I warn you in love? Huh? People, get real, get right, waking up while there's yet time. Waking out of your slumber, the sleep of death, and get yourself into Jesus Christ before it's too late. Run to Him. His arms are still wide open. Said many people that it was the nails that held Him to the cross. It wasn't. It was His love for sinners such as you and I. Evidence of God's love, great evidence of God's love, is this, that Christ died for the ungodly. That Christ died for sinners while they were still enemies of God. Think about it. You're an enemy of God. You're a hater of God. Huh? You hate Him with every fiber of your being. You loathe Him, and you loathe His standards. And yet He sent His Son into the world to be crucified for somebody like you. That's love. That's love. True love, I mean. Not the Coronation Street kind. Not the filthy Hollywood kind. Not the kind that issues, you know, from your lust. Proper love. Sacrificial love. Greater love is no man than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. You be a friend of God. You be restored to friendship with God. Well, you must become, first of all, you must get right with God. You must be restored to friendship with God. You must repent and believe the gospel. Believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Every other religion is false. Christianity is your only answer. The gospel is your only answer. The rest is all just unbelief. Islam, Buddhist, Confucius, they don't believe in God. They're idolaters. One truth, people. One truth. And God has revealed it in the Bible. There's no truth outside of God's revealed word, the Bible. No truth anywhere else. All men are liars. No one you can trust but God. and he speaks the truth to you, and he speaks it to you in love, in order that you might be saved from the coming judgment of God. So there you have it, selling God's Word. Copy of God's Word is offered to you, as I say, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do it as you will. But get yourself some knowledge, real knowledge, real wisdom, the wisdom of God that is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, Son of God, who loves sinners, gave himself for them. Did he do that for you? Only you'll know that. Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you trust in God's Son? Will you be saved? Or will you face the coming wrath of God? If you'd like to have a copy of God's